ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय I'm here for 3 days more. So I was thinking we should talk about Ramayana and how to deal with the devotional service as conducted in the character of Lord Ramchandra and his associates like Sita, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna, Hanuman. So many different characters come in exalted relationship with the Lord. What is the difference of the absolute truth when he represents only partial truth in the form of Amsha and Kala, but yet he accomplishes the necessary function to re-establish the codes of religion back. So, Lord Krishna in the form of Lord Ramchandra is the subject matter of Ramayana. Lord Krishna in the form of Lord Ramchandra is the subject matter of Ramayana. How would one say that Lord Krishna is Lord Ramchandra? Or Lord Krishna descended as Lord Ramchandra. If you take the authorities of Brahma, Shiva, Narada, these are exalted personalities. In the realm of disseminating the absolute truth. Absolute truth is one without second. But we understand through the gradual development, first we receive partial realization, then we receive something of his omnipresence realization, and then we perceive in the personality aspect. So, if the absolute truth is one, then who would be that personality who would totally satisfy the character of the principle of the absolute truth? That is the subject matter of transcendental literatures. Ramayana is not only a story, it's a transcendental literature. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself descended. But how he descended, in what particular way he descended, that is to be understood. To read the story is one thing. We may not understand how the divinity is working. Things are very inconceivable, but we simply accept without proper reasoning. But if we study, it's a different matter altogether. Because if you read something, you get at the best understanding. But if you employ this understanding in your life, you will realize. Understanding is not knowledge. Realization is the real knowledge. So it takes so much effort to gain knowledge.
Most of the people do not gain knowledge because they do not put into practice. So subject matter of Ramchandra's character, ideal character he played as a human being, you know. And that to uphold the truth, which is related to the absolute truth. It must not be an ordinary thing. It should be taken as a regular study, not simply a reading matter. We hear Ramkatha without proper understanding conveyed. That leaves us only to understand the superhuman pastimes of the Lord, but we fail to understand by such hearing that why these pastimes are to be accepted as the absolute truth. Because absolute truth is not a matter of this material world. Absolute truth is descended. Now he descended as a person. How to reconcile the truth and person? Knowledge and the knower. If that can be accepted, without the knower, knowledge is useless. So without the absolute truth, Bhagwan is useless. When people fail to understand the Bhagwan aspect of the absolute truth, you know, they will make anybody and everybody Bhagwan. It means the knowledge is absent. The absolute truth is to be received, and then we can understand how it is non-distinguishable from the personality of God. That is true. And when he descends, like Lord Ramchandra, and exhibits only particular pastimes at not in full and cannot reciprocate, then the absolute truth is there. We may go back home, back to Godhead, to Saket Dham, by understanding properly and application of the devotional service that demands in order to realize that understanding, the knowledge. Without knowledge, we will not be able to understand properly how the Supreme Personality of God, who is the Absolute Truth personified, descends. We cannot see him. Knowing is one thing, seeing is another. And if seeing is another thing, then entering into the intricate leelas is completely out of the world and out of question. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains this. Bhaktya mam abhijanati jhavanas chasmi tattvata tato ma tattvato gyatvam vishati tadantaram. Only by undivided devotional service can I be known as I am. Bhakti is not an ordinary thing. In Ramayana we'll find bhakti. In other Puranas, denoted to the other demigods, we will not find bhakti. In Ramayana we'll find bhakti. In Bhagavad Gita, it is a treatise of bhakti. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we will find bhakti. So today, we are trying to understand very important aspect of the Ramayana. And it is not fictitious story. Or a story like a fairy tale. Without proper understanding, we simply accept blindly, you know, and as if it is not applicable in our life. Oh, Dasarath Maharaj and others They were in Treta Yuga, just they were upholding the truth. But what truth? What it related to? And Lord Ramchandra came to uphold the truth. Means he would not, what does it say? Prana jaye, to vachana na jaye. Even though my life is taken away, but I will not give up vachan. Vachan means what? Ordinary vachan? What vachan? Can you sacrifice your entire life for some kingdom? Something? No, that is not correct. Ramchandra did not do that way. We should study all these things, very important episodes that are coming, and we have to know them in the relation of the Absolute Truth. So that is a very concise Ramayana by my god brother Purna Pragna Das. And it describes so many incidents taken even from Valmiki Ramayana as well as Padma Purana, because Lord Ramchandra's activities are also described there. But I am going to take from Srimad Bhagavatam also, where Lord Ramchandra's activities are dedicated. By the mouth of Sukadeva Goswami, he is telling to Parikshit Maharaj. You know, where we only hope that we will be exposed to the Absolute Truth about the Lord's activity. Everybody knows in Balakand when it begins that Valmiki is meeting with Narada. Valmiki Rishi is inquiring from Narada, who is the upholder of truth, you know, where is he, how is he? So Narada Muni is described in Lord Ramchandra's features, that here he is. He is the son of Maharaj Dasarath, he is the upholder. Then, when Valmiki thought, let me write the character of Lord Ramachandra, because in transmeditation, these stories happened over and over again. In every millennium, in Treta Yuga, Rama Avatar comes. The descent of Ram Avatar comes in every Treta Yuga. There are 1,000 Treta Yugas going to come in one day of Brahma. Means Ramchandra will appear over and over and over again. All the avatars, except Krishna. Because Krishna is avatari, he descends only once. As he is. And that is specified in Srimad Bhagavatam. Ite chamsakala punsha krishnastu bhagavan swayam indriyari vyakulam tukam mridayanti yuge yuge. In every millennium, all the avatars come repeatedly, but Krishna is coming here in once a day of Brahma. Once in a day of Brahma. You know, and that only in Dwapar Ante. In the end of Dwapar Yuga. You know. In one day of Brahma, one time, Ramchandra and all the avatars like Narsingha, Varaha, Kurma, Matsya, every millennium, every time, means they are also appearing in their respective timing. You know. 1,000 times in day of Brahma. Only 12 hours. In 12 hours of the night, everything goes into sleep. It's suspended state, no creation. It's inert. total. But the living entities are in suspended state. Nobody dies. But they don't have any way to fulfill their desire. They are in suspended state. When Brahma wakes up, after his 12 hours, then he has to recreate the whole thing over again. That is explained in Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter. Sahasra Yoga Paryantam Ahatma Brahmano Vidu. That is the calculation of the 12 hours of Brahma. It's called Kalpa. And it amounts like this, that one Kali Yuga is 432,000 years. Twice Kali Yuga is Dwapara. Thrice Kali Yuga is Treta. And four times Kali Yuga is Satya. And this is called one Mahayuga. The total of four Yugas is called Mahayuga. And 1,000 times this time is to pass. So all the avatars are repeatedly coming. In Satya Yuga there are, all Satya Yuga must be upholding, but there are lots of demons there. And the Lord has to appear more time in Satya Yuga than in Treta or Dwapara or Kali. In Kali Yuga, Lord Buddha has appeared, you know. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Prachanna Avatar, he is also forecasted. Kalki is forecasted. There are other personalities also forecasted, like Chanakya and Chandragupta have been forecasted in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, what is important here, that when we see Lord Krishna is telling Arjun in 4th chapter, Evam vivasvate manava proktavahanam avyayam vivasvanam anave praha manu rikshva kavaya bravit evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu sakalena mahata yogo nashta parantapa. The science of self-realization, the science of bhakti, he said, I spoke to sun god, Vivasva, millions of years back. And sun told to his son, called Manu. Manu spoke to Ikshvaku. And in this way it was coming down in the disciplic succession. Lord Ramchandra happened to be in Ikshvaku dynasty of that particular millennium. Ramchandra is appearing in Ikshvaku dynasty. You will see in Srimad Bhagavatam, whole dynasty of Ramchandra has been said. Ikshvaku has a son called Aja. Aja had the son Dasarath, and Dasarath has son Ram. This is the dynasty. So in Ikshvaku dynasty, it is coming from the sun god, because Surya there, you know, that's why it's called Surya Vamsh. Ramchandra happened to be in Surya Vamsh. So Valmiki Muni contemplated, and he decided to write the character of Lord Ramchandra. So he went to the river and sat in meditation. There he saw two crane birds. They were in jubilant mood to mate. And Valmiki Muni's meditation broke, because when they were in mating season and they were about to mate, one hunter shot the arrow and killed the male And there were flood of conflicting thoughts came in Valmiki Muni's mind. You know, so much compassion for the dying bird, and so much hate generated for the hunter. And somehow he cursed the hunter, and the curse came out in beautiful verses. Because Valmiki was a poet. So Bharadwaj Muni was nearby, and Valmiki said, "Oh, I'm so much perturbed. I wanted to write the Lord's narration who appeared as Lord Ramchandra, and somehow or other my mind became totally disturbed, and I could not control myself, and even in out of anger I cursed the hunter. I should not have done this. I should have kept my senses controlled, equiposed, remain indifferent to the situation, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is beyond the justification of material nature. In material nature, we think this is right and that is wrong, and we become opinionated. We become so much obsessed with our so-called knowledge, even up to the religion. You know, look at Arjun. He was so much opinionated by his good virtues and heart because he was very religious. But Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the absolute truth manifested, and he was talking in front of him, and he did not realize that he is the real cause of causes. Instead, Arjun wanted himself that, "Oh, I will become cause of the ghastly warfare, and I will be cursed, I will be hated so much, and after all, even if we win, whom shall we enjoy with? Our brothers, our fathers, and they will be all dead. What is the use of fighting?" You know, he became so much perplexed. So, Maya in the form of so-called religiousness is also coming as an impediment, you know, not to understand properly the nature of the Absolute. It is totally independent. Because in reality, like yesterday we said, the soul is part and parcel of the Supreme. Therefore, he is real, and his whole must be real. He is the part and parcel of the whole. Who is the whole? Om Purnamadha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamadachare. That is the whole. And Krishna is the wholesome character of the Absolute Truth, from whom everything emanates. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam bhuja bhava samanyuta. The basic tenets of bhakti Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. If we do not take care of that, the nature of bhakti, then we will not be able to understand the bhakti tattva done by Hanuman or Sita or Lakshman or Bharat, Shatrughna, whoever it is. It is very important that Krishna thus becomes the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, in Brahma says, Ramadi Murtishu Kalaniyamena Tishthani. The appearances of the incarnations like Rama Adi, Ramachandra Adi, Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishthani. Kala means portion of the portion. Niyamena Tishthani. by principle, they are not exhibiting the full potency. Kala means limited. Therefore, even though Lord Ramchandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is called Maryada Purushottam. He exhibits only limited potency according to the time, place and circumstances. You will realize in Dandakaranya, when Lord Ramchandra goes and the rishis were so much elated because Lord Ramchandra cleared their path, you know, Vishwamitra Muni takes him, and Lakshman both. You know, the story goes that Dasarath Maharaj is so much infatuated for the love of his son Ram, he cannot be separated. He wanted to give every protection to care for his love. But Vishwamitra Muni is the Kula Guru. He came and he had something in mind. He was inspired to go to Dasharath Maharaj and ask, I want your sons to accompany me. You know, I want their help. I want to train them and I want to accomplish certain task. Dasarath Maharaj was wounded like dead man. Oh, you're going to take away my life? So no, I'll return them. I'll bring them back. But let me train them. So, Vishwamitra takes both Ram and Lakshman and then the Dandakaranya, the rishis are performing fire sacrifices because in Treta Yuga, fire sacrifice was the means of purification and go back home back to God, get liberated and go back home back to God. Yajna Vidhi. Tretayam yajato makhai. Makha means fire sacrifice. And it was not easy to perform fire sacrifice. There are four specialized priests required. One is called Ritvik, another is called Hota, third one is called Brahma, and fourth one is called Samvedi. Samvedi sings the slokas in particular hymn expertly, you know, that it creates transcendental sound vibrations. The Ritvik is a ritualistic person. He conducts the rituals in the fire sacrifice so expertly. And the Hota is the one who is putting oblations in the fire. Om Swaha, that he throws in. Brahma, the presiding priest, he, under his supervision, the fire sacrifices to take place. So, even though this expertise was there, they were not trouble-free. The Rakshas are always envious of the demigods and the devotees. Marichi, Tarka and other Rakshas, they were defiling the yajnas. They will throw stool, purse, urine, bones, nasty things, sting, and they will kill the Rakshas. And the rishis. So, what happens? They were not allowing the religious duties to be performed. So therefore Vishwamitra, he intrinsically knew the prowess of Lord Ramchandra. He heard how he appeared. That will tell. And Vishwamitra taught them weapons of high caliber. There is also Vishwamitra Vishwamitra confers Bala and Atibala mantras to kill this Rakshas. And they are very powerful mantras. And we know that Ramchandra was able to kill Tarka, Marichi, and make the Rishis free of fear, so they can conduct their fire sacrifices for the spiritual upliftment. How Vishwamitra Muni knew how he was directed to go to Dashrath Maharaj is the workings of the providence is inspired, because he is also Brahma Rishi. He was a Rajarshi, but he became Brahma Rishi. Vasishtha Muni and Vishwamitra both were friends. But Brahmanas are said to be superior than the Kshatriyas. Vishwamitra happened to be a Kshatriya. They were friends, yet the caste system, you know, put down Vishwamitra. So Vishwamitra says, no, this is unfair. You know, Kshatriyas are equal. So let me become Brahma Rishi by my own tapascharya, by my own prowess. I will become Brahma Rishi. You know, and during those tapascharya, Menka came and disturbed his tapascharya. But then, when Shakuntala was born, he realized that he doesn't want to fall in Maya. So he left her in care of Kanva Rishi, and again he went to do tapascharya. So he was not an ordinary person, he is Brahma Rishi. And his friend Vasishtha accepted him. So again they become equal. No problem. Alright? So in this way, they are coming in the picture of Ramayana. When Nishad was cursed and Valmiki Muni regretted that he could not control his senses, he opens his heart to Bharadwaj Rishi. Then again started meditating, and Lord Brahma appeared and blesses Valmiki Muni that you will be able to compose Ramayana. So he composes Ramayana, and during that time, you know, Ramchandra was existing. Ramchandra was existing. All episodes have been already conducted. Even Sita was exiled in the ashram of Valmiki Muni. And she bore twins, Love and Kush. So Valmiki Muni resided Ramayana and raised up two kids. These two kids, Love and Kush, were so expert, and they followed Valmiki Ramayana and expertly recited Ramayana. You know, so they were known. So after everything happens, you know, Valmiki Muni sends this boy in the court of Ramchandra to recite in order to reunite the family. And you know what happens. Ramchandra was attracted to the two boys, Lav and Kush. These are not ordinary boys. They have prowesses, not only of the king, but divine prowesses. So Lord Ramchandra inquires from them, who are they? Who is their father? And they boldly say everything. You know? And Ramchandra is very much pleased, and he understood. He goes to Vishwamukti's ashram, brings back Sita, you know. But anyway, these stories are not ordinary stories. We have to understand through the eyes of knowledge. Otherwise, we will not be able to appreciate the devotion. Devotion is not an apparent thing. Oh, Hanuman became a great devotee, even though he's a monkey. You know? But because of devotion, now we put him into demigod form, devata form. That is also not proper. A devotee is much more exalted than the devatas. A pure devotee, of course. There are so many examples. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarva gunai tatra samasate suraha harava abhaktasya kutu mahat guna manorathena asati dhavato bahi. It is said that a devotee whose devotional service is akinchana. Akinchana bhakti means no tags attached. Akinchan bhakti means there is no abhilasha, no hidden motives, no profiting, nothing of material nature. One who is materially exhausted and think that only Krishna is my wealth is called akinchan. Only Krishna is my wealth. So, materially he is exhausted. That's an akinchan. So, one who does not have any other shelter than the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called akinchan. So, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchan, whose devotional service is without any tag, pride tag attached, any motivation attached. Sarva guni tatra samasate suraha. All the good qualities of all the devatas are embedded in him. On the other behalf, if one is not a devotee, however expert he may be in performing all the activities, there is no good quality in him, because he always ends up working externally. A devotee is concentratedly gearing himself in attention of Lord Krishna, while a non-devotee is thinking away from Krishna. Manorathena asati dhavato bahi. A non-devotee always think something eccentric, not concentric, eccentric. Riding on the chariot of mind, he goes outside, away from the Supreme Truth. So, this is explained. They describe the description of Ayodhya also. So, then again, the episode of Ayodhya Dasharatha Maharaj, who didn't have son, begins. This is the description which is ongoing. Valmiki Muni wrote in meditation, Ramayana, and spoke to two sons of Sita because they were taking refuge in his ashram. He sends the boys because Ramchandra was ruling. He ruled for how many thousands of years? Because it's Treta Yuga. The life cycle in Treta Yuga is over 10,000 years. In Satya Yuga it was 1 lakh. In Treta, 10,000. In Dwapar, 1,000. In Kali Yuga, less than 100. This is the span of life. So, when we see that how this is to be corroborated, adjusted, you know, it's a beautiful way of narrating. So, you will not find the beginning and neither you will find end. It's an ongoing. Love and Kush describes Ramayana under the disciplic succession of Valmiki Muni. And they are beautiful stories. Can I have 11th canto? I think chapter number 24. There are two volumes of it. Let me see. Okay, I got it. Love and Kush are describing the Ayodhya, the beauty of Ayodhya, and it's ruled by very powerful as well as saintly king Dasharatha, and he was helping the demigods to fight against the demons, you know. And one time in such a fight, his wife Kaikeyi helped him. Say Dasharatha's chariot was spinning out, and Kaikeyi saw. She was also riding behind her husband, and she saw that, oh, my husband will be in danger. So she put her finger as an axis to stop the will coming out from them. And it was a daring act that she did it. And Dasharatha, after the war was won, Dasharatha became very happy with him and gave her boons. She said, I won't take now, but I will take whenever the time will be right. What is this? Is this called predestined situation? They knew when to ask and when not to ask. She wanted something that she can win. There is always some kind of superiority complex. So Dasharatha promised 3 birds, right? These birds are material in nature. they may have done in the mood of, you know, goodness, virtuous, all that is conducive to devotional service. Because satyam vada, if you want to speak, speak truth. Even it is said, sometimes absolute truth is not palatable to us because we are so much obsessed by material energy. We think ourselves to be materially situated, well off, this way, that way. And the absolute truth hurts us because it disturbs us from our material life. You know? So the idea is that giving these boons is not an ordinary thing. If they are in relation to the absolute truth, Dasaratha will be bound. If it is only religiously a high ideal life of Varnashram, then it will hurt. Because when the Lord will appear, He maintains the balance between the two. To show us the ideal nature, a human being can learn by the virtuous character of Lord Ramchandra. We have to balance it. Let's see. So, Dasarath didn't have any children, they say. And he started consulting. He's getting old. And he had three wives, yet no children. Who will rule? Who will uphold the truth? Who will do this, that? So he was completely morose. It is said that in the neighboring country, you know, there was drought. There was drought. And people were dying out of want of water. But they got the omen telling that if you bring this Rishyasringa is a character, he's a son of a great rishi, Mrigi is his father's name, he's a great rishi. He had a kind of little horn from his head coming out. But because of the character of the child, his father thought, I want to raise him like a perfect brahmachari. We'll not expose him to any women. You know? Fine. So, the omen was that if you bring this Rishi's son in your country by hook or crook, he will bring the water. So the king of that country, you know, sent beautiful ladies dancing. And singing that will attract him. And really, they could succeed to bring him because even though he was not exposed, Now let's understand from Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 11th canto, one Brahman Avadhut is talking, telling the story of how different senses make us victim, leading the path of death. We have to get educated from this. So, it said, Nirutya vaditra gitani jushan gramyani yoshitam asam kridanako vasya rishyashungam brahmisita. Gramya gitam na shrunuyat yatir vanachara kvachit sikshed hiranat baddhan mrugo yogim tamohitaha. Then one should not, that is, a saintly person dwelling in the forest in the renounced order of life should never listen to the songs or music promoting material enjoyment. Rather, a saintly person should carefully study the example of the deer who is bewildered by the sweet music of the hunter's horn and is thus captured and killed. The hunter blows the horn. The horn is just like the sound of other male deer. So, the deers are attracted. And when they are coming near, the hunter can shoot them. So, how such hearing of the music will bring us? So, in that reference, becoming attracted to the worldly singing, dancing and musical entertainment of beautiful women, even the great sage Rishyasringa, the son of Mrugi, fell totally under their control, just like a pet animal. Rishyasringa, the young son of sage Mrugi, was intentionally brought up by his father in an atmosphere of complete innocence. Mrugi Rishi thought that if his son were never exposed to the sight of women, he would remain a perfect brahmachari. But by chance, the inhabitants of the neighboring kingdom, who were suffering from the long-term drought, received divine advice that rain would return to their kingdom only after the Brahman named Rishyasringa stepped foot in it. Therefore, they sent beautiful women to the hermitage of Mrugi to entice Rishyasringa and bring him back with them. Since Rishyasringa has never heard even about women, he easily fell into their trap. The name Rishyasringa indicates that a young sage was born with a deer-like horn growing out of his forehead. If, like a deer, a rishi becomes attracted to sweet musical sound, promising sense gratification, then like the deer, he is quickly vanquished. A thoughtful person should humbly take the instruction from the deer, who is doomed by attraction of musical sense gratification. So, the same Rishyasringa, because he was brought up, I mean, accidental fall down is not a big deal. You know, he was soon reinstated in his position. And Dasaratha Maharaj was told, you also bring this Rishyasringa, because his presence is very auspicious. By hook or crook, you know, and let him perform the Putreshti Yajna. He's powerful because his father raised him in that way. So, Rishyasringa was brought to the kingdom of Anga, where Dasharatha Maharaj had a daughter. Her name was Shanta. Dasaratha Maharaj had a daughter. Her name was Shanta. The drought was in Ramapad Maharaj's kingdom, and Rishishringa was brought to resolve the problem. So Ramapad advised, "Oh, you don't have children, why don't you bring Rishishringa?" And because he was enticed by women, "Why don't you give your daughter to Rishishringa?" So Shanta was married to Rishishringa. And he agreed to perform Putreshti Yajna for Dasharatha Maharaj. Now see, he was very, very learned, powerful, and gives the result of the Yajna. At the end of Yajna, Yajna Purush Vishnu came with the kheer, with the fruit of that. That is called payasam. And told Dasharatha Maharaj, "Here it is. You give it to your wife." Now Dasharatha had three wives. Of course, the first and foremost was Kaushalya, ideal character. She is the eldest of all the three. Sumitra was second and very obedient to Kaushalya. Kaikeyi, the third one, she was also obedient. Very nice, cooperative family life. So Dasaratha Raj handed over to Kaushalya first. Kaushalya took only half of the kheer. Alright? The payasam was taken only half because she wanted to share with the other two. So Sumitra got next. She took half of the half. 50% went to Kaushalya, 25% went to Sumitra. And she gave the leftover 25% to Kaikeyi. But before Kaikeyi completed the rest of the amount, a kite bird came and took away some portion of it. And she flew, and that fell into the mouth of Anjani. The prowess of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is coming as Yajna Purush, and now the prowess is dividing. 50% means Ansh Kala, is not 100%. If 100% would have been given to Kaushalya, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself has to come. But no, He is coming in His partial incarnation. Aushakala. Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishthan Nanavataram Akarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu. Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramapumaniyo Govindam Adipurusham Tamahambhaja. This is what Brahma says, that I worship Govinda Krishna, whose partial representation is coming in Ramachandra. Partial representation is coming in Ramachandra. Lakshman was born to Sumitra. He is portion of the portion. And so is Bharat and Shatrughna. The twins were born to Kaikeyi. And whatever the leftover took, it went through Hanuman, Anjani. This is the description of Ramayana. Now you can understand, Ramchandra is called avatar and Krishna is called avatari, one who descends. Avatar means descent, but one who descends is the main personality. He exposes you 100% of the perfectness of the Absolute Truth. In Krishna Lila, if we properly understand through the Shastric evidences, Acharyas have studied this and they teach us. So, when we try to understand that principle by proper study, then we will realize that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is only one without second, from whom everything else is emanating. And He remains complete whole even after producing so many different units. He doesn't have to do anything and everything. There are so many slokas in Shvetasahasrara Upanishad, Katha Upanishad, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Krishna Himself tells the same Absolute Truth. But why are we fighting between Ram and Krishna? Because not proper understanding. Ramchandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nandan, but He is very ideal character for a human being to adopt. He can follow Ramchandra's instructions that are given to His intimate associates like Hanuman, Bharat, Shatrughna. You see, the idealness is in obedience to those instructions. And we have to learn that bhakti tattva from Ramayana. Otherwise, poetic recitation does not yield anything, neither it is capable us to liberate even. What to speak of, put on the devotional service. Good idea? So, we refer, you'll be surprised that Sukadeva Goswami will tell us through Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj wanted to know Ramavatar, Ramchandra's avatar. And Sukadeva Goswami startles us. He surprises us by telling something which we do not know. And we must know this thing. Sukadeva Goswami starts with, the son of Maharaj Khatwanga was Dirgabahu. His son was celebrated Maharaj Raghu, and from Raghu came Aja. From Aja was born the great personality Dasharatha. And being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of expansion. Their holy names were Ram, Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the son of Maharaj Dasharatha. These are Vishnu Tattvas. Alright? So, he says that tasya anucharitam rajan rushi pihi tattva darshivi srutam hi varnitam bhuri tvaya sita pater muhu. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramchandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramchandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. Huh? How many times we attended this Ramayana Kathas? How many have you listened over and over again? Did it liberate you? Did it put you on the threshold of bhakti, pure devotion? Did it change any life? Life of devotion. Parikshit Maharaj also heard many times. Sukhdev Goswami says, I'm not going to tell you to recite the whole katha in Doha, Chanda form or whatever it has been descending. He said no. We must justify this. Srila Prabhupada tells, modern rakshasas posing as educationally advanced merely because they have doctorates have tried to prove that Lord Ramchandra is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead but an ordinary person. But those who are learned and spiritually advanced will never accept such notions. They will accept the description of Lord Ramchandra and his activities only as presented by Tattva Darshis, means seers of the truth, those who know the absolute truth. In Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, 34th verse, Supreme Personality of Godhead advises, Tad viddi pranipatena pariprasthena sevaya upadekshitam jnanam jnanina tattvadarshina. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Unless one is a tattvadarshi, in complete knowledge of the absolute truth, one cannot describe the activities of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, does it make sense? Unless one has seen the truth or tattvadarshi, he knows the absolute truth, he cannot describe the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramchandra. It must be learnt from him in a very submissive inquiry, service, as well as pertinent questions by taking the shelter of him. Lord Ramchandra, therefore, although there are many so-called Ramayanas or the histories of Lord Ramchandra, some of them are not actually authorized. Sometimes Lord Ramchandra's activities are described in terms of his own imagination, speculation, or material sentiments. But the characteristics of Lord Ramchandra should not be handled as something imaginary. While describing the history of Lord Ramchandra, Sukhdev Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit, you have already heard about the activities of Lord Ramchandra. Apparently, therefore, 5,000 years ago, there were many Ramayanas or histories of Lord Ramchandra's activities. And there are many still, but we must select only those books written by tattvadarshis, jnanina tattvadarshina. Not the books of so-called scholars who claim knowledge only on the basis of doctorate. This is a warning by Sukhdev Goswami, rishibhi tattvadarshibhi. Although the Ramayana composed by Valmiki is a huge literature, the same activities are summarized here by Sukhdev Goswami in few verses. But they are filled with tattva. Tattva means absolute truth. Why do you need absolute truth? Because you are not fake. You are also tattva. We are all part and parcel of that tattva. And we should gain that. If we simply make believe and, it is not applicable. After all, these are stories. I don't believe all these things. Anyway, this is only somebody told me to come, and my mother taught me. But actually, it doesn't make sense. There's so many exits. But it is all ignorance. The real fact that we have to learn is what is the depth? What is the real thing jewel within this is pure devotional service. Otherwise we will misunderstand each and every episode in Ramayana. We will discuss this, you know, right now the time is getting up, but we will select in 3 days, you know, and say hour and a half maximum, how much can I do? But I have been giving these discourses in Fiji for 9 days. But very thoroughly putting us on the threshold that we will have the high respect for Ramayana, Sri Ramchandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we try to become that ideal character ourselves, because that applies to us. The perfection of humanity in taking the instructions of the Supreme Personality of God and make their life successful. Why do we go as a loser? Gain something, it is profitable. The real profit comes from taking devotional service. So, this is an important purport from Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is our guideline. The spiritual master has to guide, you know, to warn us where are the pitfalls. I have studied Ramayana, which is Tulsidas's, but it has been you know, published by Pandit Jwala Prasad from Moradabad, and his name is also changed one time in another publication, and there are monopolized for distribution at such a large scale in Fiji, Mauritius, South Africa and West Indies. The same thing, because almost at the same time the Tulsi Ramayana, Ramcharitmanas, came into, where Tulsidas himself declares that I am composing this Ramcharitmanas for Swanta Sukhaya, for his own pleasure. So therefore, the Valmiki Ramayana, which is the original one, that has to be understood properly too. Second thing, Pandit Jwala Prasad brought Ramayana Mahatmya, which was written in 1906, you know, telling that simply if this Ramayana is present in any house, whether he is a meat eater, a drunkard, doesn't matter. But the presence of this book itself will give him guarantee to go back home, back to Godhead. And Hanuman himself will do the attendance of his house. Hanuman will become Chokidar. Now, we don't find this kind of things, but these are written. So the idea is that where is the scope of developing pure devotional service? Where is the scope of understanding the pure devotional service of Hanuman, Sita, Ram and Lakshman? Because that is not properly guided. Rather, it is misguided service to the humanity. Simply to sell number of books, because people love to chant these dohas and other things, But simply that, only reciting, but not understanding it, not application in their life. So where is the question of realization? So we find that we try to, you know, expose this truth, they appreciate. You know? And only those who are having good intelligence will take up. It's a monumental task to save our people who are trapped into this Maya. They may think they are religious, but their activities are not religious. This is hypocritical. So, the idea is that if the absolute truth is not revealed, and proper conduct of pure devotional service is not exposed, how will we inspire to get into? There will be no inspiration. So we think, paro Hanuman Chalisa, paro ye, bas, beda par. We keep on reciting this from how many years? Since childhood, people are indoctrinated to do that. But because the intentions are something else, no proper effect can become. That is good morning. So the whole challenge is right before us. It is a challenge. Tulsidas's purpose of Swanta Sukhaya, it worked for him, but it is not working for us. So we have to teach. We have to teach. The Britishers took us, you know, to 250 years back to these countries as laborers. And most of the people were coming from that tract of the land where Tulsi Ramayan became popular, because its immediate thing was there. And just to keep connection with their so-called place of birth and the gift to the humanity of this recitation of Ramayana is concerned, that were given, people think, oh, it's very nice. It might have given us the connection to the language Hindi. It may have given us connection to some familiarity. But you know, the contempt has been bred too. And that contempt is nothing but sense gratification. So therefore, recitation of this Ramayana has taken a turn as an entertainment industry. Instead of liberating people, it has taken a turn to entertainment industry. So, we have to watch out how much we want to get entertained. Is this bhakti is not an entertainment. Bhakti resolves all our problems of life because it puts right on the face of absolute truth. It applies to us because we are part of that absolute truth. We are not fake people. So those who want to remain under ignorance or in Maya, they may construe different things. But then what is the success of human form of life? What are we achieving? We don't want to go as loser from this material world. Gain. Profit. Which profit? Of your own reality. It's called real profit. Bhakti is our real asset. Bhakti is our real asset. It will go with you. Everything else will be staying behind you. Does it make sense? Because bhakti is eternal occupation of the soul. We have to develop that intelligence, you know. You want short-term benefits, long-term benefits? When you take insurance, life insurance, there are no short-term benefits in it. It's always long-term. Most of the benefits are, you know, realized not by you, but after you go, by your family. There are no short-term benefits. But this is spiritual life insurance. It's guaranteed. You simply have to put the premium of pure devotion. Premium of pure devotion. Chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And increase, and increase, and increase. The returns are guaranteed. Devotees are real life insurance agents. Take up a policy. Right? You have to pay in terms of chanting Maha Mantra. The premium is minimum 1728 Maha Mantras a day. You can pay off in less than 2 hours. That's the premium. You'll be so secure, and you'll really rejoice the transcendental nature of the activity and qualities and the form of the Supreme Personality of God through the Holy Name. The Holy Name will reveal the form. When the form is revealed, then the Holy Name will make you reveal the divine qualities of the Lord. And when the divine qualities are revealed, the Holy Name will further reveal the divine activities of the Lord. And here we are talking of divine activities of Lord Ramachandra. So this is the prelude today. Please try to come tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. I will try to cover important aspects of Ramalila. Anybody has any question?
I'm sorry of saying Rishi. I thought
Rishi Shringa.
I thought the daughter of Dasrath was adopted by Ramapal.
That's correct. Dasrath adopted. From Ramapal. It's other way around. Dasrath didn't have any children. So his friend Ramapal had a daughter, Shanta. So he adopted her. So when Rupa himself was suffering from the drought and Rishyasringa was brought, you know, then he advised Dasharatha, you should also bring Rishyasringa. But get her married with him. So Dasharatha agreed.
She was talking about how Ramayana has suffered from sense gratification, and people have enjoyed it for a storyline. But would Krishna's story suffered even more than Ramayana? Because he's still quite respected, isn't he? Lord Rama is very respected, but Lord Krishna is seen as a bit of a rascal and a bit of a thief. And so has all of his pastimes suffered more than maybe what Lord Rama has?
No.
Degradation
No suffering like that.
In the eyes of people?
No. Even they can't come near to that kind of understanding. Nothing more or less. A slight drop of transcendence make us so much rich. It is qualitative oneness. It liberates us, it puts us right on the threshold of our eternal service to the Lord. So, that's good enough. How much a tiny living entity can understand when Supreme Lord Krishna His glories are continually sung by Lord Ananta with thousands of hoots from time immemorial, yet he is not able to complete. So, the tiny will not be able to absorb the complete. He will be absorbed with incomplete. So, but qualitative oneness should be reached. Qualitative oneness is divine, Satchidananda. Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha. The Jiva also is Satchidananda Vigraha, but very tiny, insignificant. It's very attractive. Soul is very attractive. Who are we attracted to? The life principle or simply dead body? How much beautiful a body can be attractive? You know the story of liquid beauty? Liquid beauty. One king was with his party, you know, went on expedition, got separated and ended up coming in a hermitage of a rishi. The rishi was not there, but his young daughter was there. She was extremely beautiful. So this king immediately forgot his fatigue and got attracted to the beauty of the daughter. He introduced, "I am the king and I want to marry you." The girl understood, Rishi's daughter, she is intelligent, said, "This is nothing but lust. This guy is out of his sense control." So she intelligently told him, "My father is away. He is going to come and I will ask him your proposal." please come after 1 week. And with his permission, I will be gladly able to marry you. So the king, okay, I will come back. He left. The girl took heavy purgatives, heavy duty purgatives. You know, in such a way that she vomited, passed stool and everything, but kept on doing this for 6 days and stored all that nasty thing in pots. Several pots were filled. She really became emaciated. The whole luster has gone off. So the king came after 1 week and knocked the door, and she opened up, and the king asked that he wants to see that beautiful girl. The girl replied, "That is me." The king said, "No, it cannot be." How do I believe? The girl told, "No, no, it is me, the same girl." You know. The king said, "No, she is so beautiful, all her beauty is the one that I got attracted, and you are ugly person." He says, "No, I just separated myself from that beauty. If you want to see the beauty, I will show you." "What?" "It's not. You are saving. I just separated my beauty, and I kept for you. You want beauty, not me, right?" "That's correct. So why don't you take the beauty?" And she told, "Here are the pots filled up with beauty." The king said, "Let me see." And it was all nasty things, stinking. And he got completely fried. But he understood something. That we are attracted by the liquid beauty, not the real self. So self, the soul is reality. The body is not reality. It's a fake thing. Temporary. We cannot live on the bodily conception alone. That is called Maya. A human being is progressive in realization, but his realization comes after a long, long ordeal. Called Govinda. So anyway, Lord Krishna's pastimes are wonderful and extraordinary, surpasses all the pastimes, you know. That he can simultaneously reciprocate with all the kinds of devotional moods while Ramchandra restricted himself. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who comes to show only some prowess, not all, because it was not necessary at that time. But the pastimes are nonetheless divine in nature.
sincere desire to return back to Godhead, unmotivated devotional service?
Yes. It's a must. Going back home, back to Godhead without properly educated in terms of devotion, it's impossible.
It could be a selfish desire to not want to be here.
That is the only desire. You cannot kill your desire, but Krishna wants you to. Krishna didn't want us to separate. Krishna wants us to go back home, back to Godhead. Sarva dharmana parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Give up all your misconception and just come and surrender to me utterly. That is his desire. A father calling his son. A son may not want to go. So, if you want to go back home, back to Godhead, you'll be fulfilling Krishna's desire, not your own desire. But your own desire is conducive to Krishna's desire. That's why it's an agreeable situation, not a disagreeable situation. Oh, I don't agree with my father, but I have to go to him. Come on, you'll come away and come back again. So devotional service is the educating in situation, and one must get into that. Without that, one cannot go back home. Back to that. There's no other way, because father is a person. You do not require devotion to go to Brahma Jyoti. Neither you require devotion to go to Paramatma. You require devotion only to the personality of Godhead. Yeah.
Is greed the only qualification you need to go back home?
The greed is positive requirement, but that develops after the real taste. Ruchi, asakti. Asakti means greed. One must become greedy for the transcendental mellows, not this material greed. If you have tasted the transcendental nature, then you will find that this is a superior taste than material. So material taste will be easily given up by taking that superior taste. Raso vargyam raso apyasya param drashtva nivartate. By accepting higher taste, lower taste can be given up. If you take Krishna Prasad in the liquid form instead of tea, you'll forget the tea. You can give up the tea. Tea increases nothing but mode of ignorance. And you can't offer to Krishna. So you can't take it. That is asakti. Only greedy people can know what the real price that they have to pay for the transcendental rasa. Asakti, bhava and prem. The greed will develop into the real bhava. And the maturity of the bhavas will be there. love with the Father. That is the success, gradual development. Anything else? Vala Sri Ramachandra Bhagavan ki jai.